Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. It's time for quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time to Ask Greg, brought to you by DraftKings. Now is the time to celebrate. That's right, football is here to kick off football's 101st season. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all users a no-brainer to start the season. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. Even if Kansas City were to lose by 100 points, you still win. That's a no-brainer. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Make sure you use promo code KSN to take advantage of this no-brainer of an offer. Promo code KSN to get in on all the action for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time where we get to Ask Greg. Actually, it's you get the chance to Ask Greg. Send in your questions. You can do that with the Ask Greg button in the app. If you want to know how to get the app, simply go to your app store, look for Keystone Sports, download the free app, and you'll see the Ask Greg button. If you don't want to use the app, you could also email me at info@ksnsports.net. All right, Greg, it is time for the questions. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Let's see where we start. Let's go with Matt in State College. And Matt says, it appears bowl games won't be played this year, even if there still is a playoff. Assuming vaccines are widely distributed by next summer and it's feasible to play the 2020 bowl games in August of 2021 as part of the kickoff of the season. It'd be similar to the old kickoff and pigskin classic games, although teams will not have the same rosters as the previous season. Wouldn't it be fun to bookend the 2021 season with bowl games at the beginning and end of the season?
Oh, I would love that. I think that would be a great idea. Obviously, there's a lot of logistic challenges that go into all of this. But look, I mean, I think creative ideas like this one are the only chances a lot of programs are going to have to even come close to making their budget and revenue figures, because they're going to have to get really creative with how they play as many games as possible both this year and next to generate and keep as much of their television revenue money as possible. And let's not forget, too, that a big chunk of Penn State and other schools' operating budget, especially in the Big Ten, comes from what, Jim? The bowl game distribution and all the things that, the powers, the New Year's Six bowls and the college football playoffs, and fairly or unfairly, you know, those revenues get divided up evenly for the most part. I know Maryland and Rutgers, we're pretty sure they're still in that welcoming period, so to speak, where they get a little bit less than everybody else. But I mean, so the more bowl games you can play, really, no matter when you play them, the better off all schools in the conference and the conference are going to be.
I like the idea too. I remember years ago, I believe with in the Meadowlands, Penn State got to play USC, and I attended that game. A lot of fun. It's just great to have that kind of excitement early in the season with a big game like that. All right. Next up is Aaron from Houston, Texas. Penn State has struggled to get 4- and 5-star commitments for the 2021 recruiting class, and you made some good points on why they're struggling, especially since they can't take official visits to State College. However, the 2022 class is off to a really strong start. What are your thoughts on the discrepancy between the two classes, and why are they able to get the high-quality 2022 recruits but continue to struggle with 2021?
Well, I think the problem with 21, Jim, is a lot of those kids had relationships with previous coaches on this staff, be it Ricky Ronnie, be it Sean Spencer, be it, you know, if I forget anybody here, Matt Limegrover, or, you know, and so when those guys moved on and Penn State's new coaches came in, you know, some of these guys were already recruiting these 2022s at other places. Some of these guys have more time to spend looking ahead to the 2022 class for a variety of reasons. And I don't want to say class of 2021 slipped between the cracks, because that's not true. But I really think that a lot of kids in that class had better relationships with other schools. Whereas with the 2022 class, for whatever reason, Penn State's been able to really establish good relationships between them and the top players in that group, for whatever reason. So, I mean, it's a completely fair question, and I get it. I just don't, it's hard for me to pinpoint one or two things that have gone wrong or that have really screwed things up. I just believe that, you know, at this point, Penn State is in the position it's in because of the fact that, you know, it has not been able to, you know, for whatever reason, in the 2021 class, really develop and or keep very good relationships, whereas with the 2022 kids, for whatever reason, that has not been a problem.
I think you get in trouble whenever you want to make a blanket statement in recruiting, because every player is an individual, is different. Might the Nolan Rucci recruitment have been different if his brother were recruited to Penn State also? You know, you never know how those circumstances would change things. All right, let's go with Mark in Mechanicsburg. Kind of an off-the-wall question here, but kind of interesting. Mark asks, Greg, with the addition of Jerry Cross, who do you think will have the better college career? Jerry Cross, tight end from Wisconsin who's coming to Penn State, or Hayden Rucci, tight end from Pennsylvania, going to Wisconsin?
Yeah, really good question, Jim. I think that at this point, you know, it's a really hard one. So run that by me again one more time. Let me make sure I'm understanding that correctly.
Okay, who's going to have the better career? Jerry Cross.
Yes.
The Wisconsin high school tight end going to Penn State, or Hayden Rucci going to Wisconsin?
Hayden Rucci or Nolan Rucci?
Hayden Rucci, the tight end.
Yes.
Wisconsin, or Jerry Cross, the tight end, going to Penn State?
Well, you know, I would like to, number one, I guess the one thing we still don't have an answer to, Jim, is that we don't know. So Kirk Soraka's past experience and past, you know, usage of the tight end has not exactly been ideal in terms of the way Penn State has used the tight end. So I would like to say Jerry Cross, but until we see how Kirk Soraka fits that position into the offense, it's kind of hard for me to go with anyone but Rucci at this point. However, knowing Kirk Soraka, he's going to change up his offense in a really dynamic way compared to what he did at Minnesota and compared to some of the strengths and weaknesses that Penn State has compared to what Minnesota had. So, I mean, I'm going to go with Rucci for now, Jim, just because we didn't have spring practice. We didn't see any of summer camp, and now we don't even know if or when we'll see a 2020 season from Penn State. So it's tough for me to project a better outcome for a player in an offense that we have yet to see in person once. So that's going to be a little bit of a challenge at this point.
For the sake of discussion, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with Jerry Cross, and I'll tell you why. I do think Kirk Soraka will find a way to use his tight ends. I think he will adapt. People who say, gee, he didn't throw to the tight end when he was at Minnesota, I believe it's a question of talent. I remember the press conference when he talked about using the quarterbacks at Penn State to run, and he made reference to the fact at Minnesota, he didn't have the type of quarterback who could run the ball, so he didn't. I believe this tells you he's going to adapt to the talent he has. And if you look at Jerry Cross, see his tape, the kid is 6'6", 220. He's not a kid that is a blocking tight end, that type who you think, oh, turn him into an offensive lineman. I think he's a tight end who's set up to catch the ball, and I think Kirk Soraka will find a way to get him the ball. So that is Jim with his blue and white glasses on there, Greg. So
fair enough.
Let's move on. Brian from Pittsburgh, his question is, if a season does complete this fall, what's the likelihood that there will be bowl games? And is it possible that bowl games move to neutral locations or to a college's home field to mitigate travel?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, anything's possible at this point, right? So, to me, if you're going to do bowl games, I just don't know how they can all be at their traditional traditional stadium. And so, obviously, look, if they're playing the Rose Bowl gym, it's being played at the Rose Bowl, right? So, they're not going to move a traditional game out of its stadium. And same goes for, I think, the bigger name games. But, yeah, some of these smaller games, these ones that are, you know, maybe not our you know, the ones that we like because we like DraftKings and not because we like good games, if you catch my drift. I could certainly see a bunch of those games being combined to one place, be it a dome stadium or something else. I could see a lot of those games being maybe put on back to back to back to back over a couple of days, and it'll save cost on a lot of different things. And it would also ensure all those games got to be played while, like, as the question mentions, reducing the travel, you know, the travel restrictions or the travel that is necessary. So, like I said earlier, I really think it's going to just come down to they're going to need to be creative, because there's going to be a lot of times where they need to make things up on the fly or do some things that they've never done before to try and get as many of these games in as possible.
All right, let's get one more in here. This is a Jared from Tallmadge, Ohio. He asked, could the recent changes alter how college football treats future schedules? In my opinion, it's crazy that out-of-conference games are scheduled 8 to 10 years down the road. It also makes no sense to me that the Big Ten 2025 slate is set when other conferences tailor their schedule each year. If nothing else, this proves that flexibility exists to not need to schedule more than 2 years in advance. And if college hoops can put together a full schedule in the off season, why can't football?
Yeah, I completely agree with this. I've never understood any of that. So I guess I could maybe get the idea of locking in your non-conference games, but some of this stuff has just become silly. I mean, you know, we sit here and talk about strength of schedule, this and that and the other thing, and some of these games that are being scheduled, how can you tell who's going to be what in 2032 and 2035 and 2040 when some of these games are scheduled for? I mean, it's ridiculous. Clearly, you always have your heavyweights and your power teams that are going to be traditionally good year in and year out, but after you get through that list, Jim, you're just hoping that the school you scheduled now won't ruin your chances to make the college football playoff then. And I think that's easier said than done, especially with a lot of these schools that get non-conference games scheduled so far out. So, yeah, I've never understood why it has to be that way either, and wouldn't be upset if it changed.
I think Jared makes a good point. I think it's one of these things where, gee, because everybody else is scheduling so far out, I better also. I'll be left without a chair. All right, that's it for quarter number three and Ask Greg. We will announce our winner at the start of quarter number four.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports, and I'd like to introduce you to our new partners at Forged-Legends.com, makers of solid one-piece cast aluminum gifts. Forget the bumper sticker. For the real enthusiast, you need to go to Forged-Legends.com. Front plates, license plate frames, and hitch covers. Choose from many patriotic themes or even show your pride with your favorite team's colors. All come with a lifetime guarantee and are manufactured right here in Central PA. Be sure to check them out. That's Forged-Legends.com and use code KSN at checkout. To kick off football's 101st season, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, has moved the spread to Kansas City plus 101 points for all users. If Kansas City loses by 100 points, you still win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.